Let me share something with you that sooner or later, every husband learns. Gentlemen, if at first you do not succeed, do it the way your wife told you. Now, sometimes even failure can have a little bit of a humorous side. Those of you that watch some of these TV shows or maybe some videos on the internet, you know, you see it, hey, fail compilation. Some of that stuff's funny. But, friends, the fear of failure, the fear of not succeeding, that's not a laughing matter at all. Sometimes it can be so profound that it's actually paralyzing. And it's that fear of failure that plagues some of the very best known people in the Bible. But when we see how God responds to their fear, we can learn a great deal. And in our message for today, which is entitled Overcoming the Fear of Failure, we're going to see a prime example of this in the life of a man named Joshua. Now, a person who's afflicted with the fear of failure, they consider the possibility of failing to be so terrible, they choose not to even take the chance. Now, I've known people, and you probably have too, who are so afraid of failing, they have absolutely no possibility of ever succeeding. Did you know in the Bible there are over 200 people mentioned about whom the Bible says they were afraid? And I'm not talking about second stringers here. I'm not talking about biblical bench warmers. I mean, some of them are main players. And the Bible says that they were fearful. Now, fear shows up especially in what we call the call narratives. This is a biblical term. I'm going to tell you what it means if it's new to you. A call narrative is a section of scripture where God is calling on a particular person to carry out a mission, a special assignment he's got for him. And here in the first chapter of Joshua, all of the principles that are scattered throughout the Bible and all the other call narratives, they are all organized here in Joshua in step-by-step strategy for how to deal with the fear of failure. So this is good for us, especially at the time we're living in right now. Let me set the stage here for you. Here's what's going on at that time. This is what we call a transition passage. There's another biblical term for you. The transfer of leadership. Leadership for Israel is transferring from Moses to Joshua. Up to this point, it's all been about Moses leading the Israelites. Now it's going to be about Joshua. So in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, here's what we read. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. So God comes to Joshua. He says, hey, you know, Moses died, and you may be wondering who's going to take his place. Well, it's funny you should ask, because I have an announcement to make. You're my guy. I'm putting you in charge. Now, this is an amazing moment for Joshua. And in order to really understand the magnitude of what's happening here, you gotta consider the greatness of Moses. Up to this time, among the Jewish people, Moses was the greatest man who ever lived. They revered this man like they had revered their ancestor Abraham. Moses was the giver of the law. Moses was the one who had led them out of bondage in Egypt. The Bible tells us Moses had a relationship with God that was unlike a relationship any other man, other than Jesus now, had with God. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11 says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Now, how would you have liked to have been Joshua? You got to follow this guy. The task of leading Israel into the land of Canaan, that would have been a huge and overwhelming task, even if Moses was still alive to do it. Think about this. The Israelites had been taken out of Egypt. They don't know how to do nothing. They've been slaves for 400 years. The only skills they got are skills you need to be a slave. These guys were not military warriors. They weren't trained soldiers. Then they wandered around in the wilderness for 40 more years because of their disobedience. Now here they are at the Jordan River, the border of the land of Canaan, which, by the way, is filled with people of amazing height and strength. In fact, this is the only place in the Bible up to this point where we hear about military armament. Check this out. Joshua chapter 17, verse 16. All the Canaanites who live in the plain have iron chariots. Iron chariots. So what you got is a bunch of slaves with no military experience. They're getting ready to cross the river and fight against a bunch of big, strong pagans who got an Old Testament tank battalion. This is a very fearful situation. Israelites are completely unprepared. They got no military experience. And God says, hey, Joshua, you're the man. Go on and take care of this. Now, suppose for him, let me preface this with this. There's a lot of folks, probably even some in this congregation, who you like to give people advice. Somebody comes to you with a problem. Oh, you got the solution. Boy, you just lay that wisdom on them. You give them that advice. Now, pretend for a minute you're a consultant in the days of Joshua. Joshua comes to you, oh, wise giver of advice. He tells you all these things that I've just explained to you. And then he goes, I need some help. Can you prepare me to do this job? What advice would you give him? Yeah, you don't want to be that consultant, but listen, you don't need to worry about that, because Joshua had a divine consultant. His consultant was the Almighty God. And God is about to prepare him to take on this fearful assignment and help him get past the fear that he no doubt would have been feeling and help lead him on to victory. So today, we're going to see what God did for Joshua, and we're also going to see God is still in the same process of doing this for all of us. Here's our first principle. God shows him the principle of divine perspective. Look at verse 5. God says, listen to me, Joshua. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Now, that's got to be an incredible moment when Joshua hears those words, because he'd been Moses' assistant for a long time. He'd been following Moses around for years. He saw all the miracles that God had done through Moses. He had a ringside seat for all these miraculous events that we read about in the early books of the Bible. And the first thing God says to Joshua is, young man, I'm going to be with you just like I was with your boss, and you can count on that. Here's a question. How many of you here today know that if God is with you, you're already off to a pretty good start? God promised that he'd be with Joshua. Principle number two, God gave him the principle of divine purpose. He told him what his mission was. Look at verses 2 and 3. Now then, you and all the people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Then he gives him a description of the borders. We read that in the scripture reading. God says, Joshua, I want you to understand what your mission is. Here's what I'm calling you to do. Lead these people across the Jordan River into the land of Canaan. I want you to take control over it and settle there. See, God already owned this land. It already belonged to God. He'd already given it to Israel through his promises. But in order for them to possess it, they had to go in there and conquer the Canaanites and take it. But listen to God's promise. Every place that the sole of your foot touches, that land's yours. It already belongs to you and the Israelites. Go take it. And what God did for Joshua in that very moment is what he loves to still do for us. He's given him focus. He's saying, I don't want you to have any misconceptions about what I'm calling you to do. Here's your assignment. I want you to stay focused on this mission and make sure all the other Israelites stay focused on it too. Don't get caught up in anything else. Don't take detours. Here's the job. Go get it done. You say, well, Pastor, that's real inspiring. What in the world's that got to do with me sitting here in 2020? Well, here's a little application for you. When you got focus in your own life, it's amazing what that'll do to fear. See, when you got focus, your fears begin to subside. And when you stay focused, you discover, I'm not scared anymore. Fear is the father of failure. So it would stand to reason, the less fear you have, the less failure you're going to experience. So when you get up in the morning and you don't know what to do, you get caught up in the uncertainty of an undirected life, fear starts to come in, it takes control. But man, when you get up every day and you know that God has called you to do something and you begin to focus on that, something wonderful begins to happen in your heart and the fear of failure melts away. Principle number three, God gives Joshua the principle of divine persuasion. Look at verse 6. He says, be strong and courageous. Oh, in case you didn't hear me, here's verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. Let me tell you one more time in verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Got a question. You get the idea God kind of wanted him to be strong and courageous? Well, and just in case he didn't get it, God tells him the exact same thing again in verse 18. I can think of very many reasons as I read through the rest of this book of Joshua why it was important that he had both strength and courage, not only for the reasons that we examined already, like he's following up Moses as the new leader, but God is going to ask Joshua to do some unusual things. He's going to ask Joshua to do some things that, quite frankly, don't make any sense from a human standpoint. Think about this, those of you who know the story. Joshua and the army of Israelites, they roll up on the city of Jericho. They got to go in there and conquer that. Here's Joshua's battle plan. Hey, y'all come here. Listen to me. Here's what we're going to do. Put your rifles down, bro. We don't need those. We're going to march around the city, and we're going to march around the city every day. And then on the last day, we're going to march around the city a whole bunch of times. And then we're going to pull out our trumpets and blow them, and the walls are just going to fall down all by themselves. Okay, you guys ready? Really? That's what God had him do. He needed to be strong and courageous, because some of these things God was calling him to do were very, very unusual. Throughout this entire book, there's reason after reason where if Joshua had failed to be courageous and strong, he would have never been able to do what God told him to do. Now, the next point we want to consider is God gave him the principle of divine priority. And listen, if you don't remember nothing else from this message today, and you're struggling with fear, pay attention to me. In order for God to protect Joshua from the fear of failure in the mission he was given, he gives him these words of divine priority. Look at verse 8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. God is saying, hey, Joshua, here's your instruction manual. It's the book of the law. Now keep this in mind. What God gave him couldn't have been any more than the first five books of the Bible. You say, how you know that, Pastor? Because no other books of the Bible have been written yet. You got the first five books, also called the Pentateuch, the law. God said, here's the book of the law. I want you to spend time in this. I want you to know it. I want you to put this in your heart. This is where I want your main focus to be, on what's in here. Take on the assignment I'm giving you, but don't get too far away from this book, because it's going to help you. And I want to say something to you this morning. If you are maybe not familiar with some of the things in this book. This is the book God gave to help us all through life. If you feel like sometimes your life's spinning out of control, you don't know what you're supposed to do, you don't have any direction, I'm going to go out on a limb and say you ain't reading your Bible every day. You got no plan at all for daily Bible reading. There's all kinds of commands in the Bible, but there's one command that is repeated more often than any other command in the Bible. Anybody here remember what that is? Fear not. That's right. Now, why would God have put that command in the Bible so many times if fear wasn't a problem? Well, apparently God knew that fear for humans was going to be a major problem. That's why he tells us so many times in his word that we're not to be afraid. And as you read through the Bible over and over and over again, you see God making provisions for his people. Friend, if you read and you study your Bible, somewhere along the line, you are going to find yourself and your situation in the pages of Scripture, and then you're finally going to realize, hey, God's talking to me here. All Joshua had, no, we got Genesis all the way through Revelation. All Joshua had was Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's all he had. Now, I don't claim to know how all of you read the Bible, but I'm going to go out on another limb here and say that most of you, when you need encouragement, you probably don't go to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, or Deuteronomy. That's probably not the first place you go. But I'm going to remind you of this. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, every single scripture he quoted to fight against the devil came from the book of Deuteronomy, the book of the law. Every time he was tempted, Jesus said, "It is written," and then he quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. You might want to check those books out. There's some good stuff in there. Jesus thought pretty highly of it. Now, when God told Joshua he was to take the word of God as his main priority, he said, "I want you to talk about it constantly." Look what he said. "Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth." He was to meditate on the word of God continually. He says, meditate on it day and night. And he was to read it obediently. He said, be sure to do everything that's written in it. And I want to tell you something about that one. God said, Joshua, I want you to read this book of the law in a special way. I don't want you to read this book only to get smarter. I want you to read this book and then do what it says. It's the same thing with the Bible today. God doesn't want you to read his word just so you know what it says. He wants you to read his word so you will do what it says. Folks, we're failing. We're failing. You know how most of us read the Bible? Here's the attitude we take. Yeah. I'm going to read the Bible so I can see what God says, and then that way I'll be able to decide if I want to do it or not. You're not going to make it very far like that. I promise you. You read God's word as your instruction manual, and when God says you're supposed to do something, you just do it. And he told Joshua, when you read the word, I want you to observe what it says, and I want you to do those things. Now, I can promise you this. If you'll start reading the Bible like that, reading it and then actually doing what it says, your life's gonna improve very, very much. If you will read the Bible and say, Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Just show me what it is. If you'll read the Bible like that, the Word of God's going to start to come alive for you. God says, follow my word exclusively. Look at verses 7 and 8. Do not turn from it to the right or the left. Be careful to do everything written in it. So, listen, beloved, whenever we have a fear of failure, or maybe we feel like we are failures, There's one place and only one place I'm going to recommend to you. Right here. Get in the Word of God. It contains strong words of truth. They will lift you up out of your situation and they'll set your heart free from fear. Next principle, God shows to Joshua the principle of divine presence. Look at verses 5 and verse 9 and think about this as if you're Joshua. You're sitting there and you're wondering, Lord, I heard what you told me to do. But how am I going to do this? You know how these people are. Look at the way they talk trash about Moses. He was your chosen man. And they were constantly ripping on the guy. They're stubborn and they're stiff-necked. They're disobedient. They're going to hate me probably worse than they rebelled against Moses. How am I going to do this? Here's what God said. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. If you have God with you, all your excuses go away. The title of our men's Bible study that we're in right now is No More Excuses. And friend, if you got God with you, you don't need any excuses. Because when you get to this point where you realize that God is with you, the whole issue, the whole question is this. This thing that God's called me to do. Is he going to do it through me, or do I have to do it all by myself? Well, hopefully you already know the answer to that. God will never ask you to do something and then turn his back on you and abandon you to failure. He goes with us whatever he's called us to do. The main thing you need to know, though, is God the one who's calling me to do this? And if he is, he promises that he'll be with you. That is the principle of divine presence. Got one more principle for you. Verses 5 and verse 8, God gives Joshua the principle of divine prosperity. He says, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. Then you will be prosperous and successful. God says, Joshua, if you just go out and do what I tell you to do, and be strong and courageous and be obedient to my word, I'm going to be with you and nobody is going to be able to take you down. You're going to be successful in what you do and you are going to prosper. You say, oh, Lord, he's turning into one of them prosperity preachers now. No. What does God mean when he tells Joshua that he'll be successful and prosperous? Does he mean he's going to give Joshua a big house and a new Mercedes? Nope, that's not what he's talking about at all. He's telling him, you will be successful in what I have called you to do, which in this case was to go out and conquer the land of the Canaanites and take it over. He's saying, if you'll do what I told you to do in exactly the way I told you to do it, I promise you this, you're going to be successful in this mission. Nobody's going to be able to stop you. You're going to have success in this mission and you're going to prosper in this mission. God promises this same thing in every situation. I'll be with you. And when he calls us to do anything, whether it's something difficult, whether it's something easy, whether it's a challenge that's real close to home or whether it's one far away, he promises he's going to help you. And I can tell you after all these years, he ain't never failed me. Not one time. The only reason I'm standing here today still, because God's with me. He ain't never forsaken me or turned his back on me. Now, he's let me take a few lumps along the way. I've walked wounded a couple of times, but he's always given me the strength and power I need to get through any situation. He'll do exactly the same thing for you. And I can tell you from experience, there is absolutely no greater adventure you can ever get involved in than doing what God has called you to do and then just hopefully watching for how he's going to show up and help you get it done. In conclusion, Some of you here today, you needed to hear this message because you've been sitting back in your comfort zone. You're just waiting. But I don't know for what. God has a plan for your life, and it's a good plan. He's got something that he wants you to do. Might be easy, might be difficult, but if God is in it and he's calling you to do it, you need to take a step of faith and get it done. And you can count on the fact that he will never, ever ask you to do anything that he is not going to help you to do. And because of that, we never need to be fearful of failure. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your good and wonderful promises in the scripture. Even as you were with Moses and Joshua, Lord, you promise to be with us. Lord, we know that your arm is not too short. You are the great and mighty God. When you call us to do something, Lord, you promise to be with us every step of the way. Help us to walk by faith and not by sight. Father, we pray again for the future of this church. We pray for our children and our grandchildren, that out here this little church in Woodburn would always be a beacon of light and hope where the gospel is preached in spirit and in truth. Help us to stand strong, Lord, against the godless society we are living in today. Everywhere we look, this country seems to be becoming more and more of a lawless place. Father, help us never lose sight of our focus. You, Lord, are true north. Help us to keep our spiritual compasses pointed on you. Give us strength. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much, and God bless you. Would you please bow your heads for the benediction? Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen. Dismissed.